this world has ever known, he's coming. When Christ shall return again to claim his own, he's coming. My Lord is coming, and he will step from his throne on high, and in the twinkling of an eye, with a shout that will quicken all the born again, my Lord is coming.
And when he comes, he'll not be alone. He'll bring loved ones who've already gone. They're coming.
Shall rise, and we which are alive shall be caught up to meet him in the air. My Lord is coming.
He told us in his word to watch and pray, then we'll not be ashamed at his coming.
Solid rock.
Okay, I played the wrong
have an answer. 1-4-0.
Parkers from Faith Baptist Church in Olathe. They'll be with us. They were scheduled, full schedule. He said, I'll have to come be with you next year. But then he texted me this week and said I had a cancellation. And so that'll work out to finish up and finish our missions month. And we will have some cards for you to fill out. Hope that you've been challenged and stirred. And if you have a concern, if you have a heart for missions, you're going to do something about it. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And I encourage everybody to do something. Even if it's $5 to $1, just be faithful. Start somewhere. And you know, if we say, yeah, this is a mission-hearted church, but are you mission-hearted? And Brother Jones did a good job. We need to start here in our city by handing out tracts. You don't have to know a whole lot. You don't even have to read. Just say, here, I got something for you. Hey, will you take this and give that to them? But give to mission so we can continue to support more missionaries. But I'm praying for 100% participation. Hope everybody can do something. Everybody, I started when I was up there when I was a junior in high school, giving to missions, and haven't turned back, and I promise you, God will be a debtor to no man, and you're not going to outgive God, I promise you. God blesses the giving of his people. You say, I give my tithe, that's just being honest. Just giving God what he deserves, and then on top of that, you give a tithe, an offering, and you say, how much? That faith promise. There's a lot of different ideas. I'm going to 10% of my income, but I look and say, if you say I already have it, that's not faith. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I know some mission-hearted church like us, their teenagers go to get a job just so they can give to missions. And I promise you, if you care about the lost, then it's going to cause us to do something. So I encourage you to do that. Also, care packages for Nathan and Leah. We'll have some boxes back there starting next week, give you a couple weeks. But encourage everybody to put a note in there, just something, a card, a note, $500 bill, whatever. Is there? Eugene, is there a $500 bill? Yeah. Daniel, is there? How many of you ever seen a $500 bill? Connie, you've seen a $500 bill? Well, I need to see you after church in my office, okay? What's that? Long time ago? Your dad had one. Okay. Lynn, have you seen one? No? Okay. All right. Well, anyway, but put something in there. We want to be a blessing to them. All right. Does anybody have a handout that's already filled out? A $500 bill. If I had one. Anybody have?
I had my notes and I did this last time.
Is it on here? Oh, there it is. Never mind. Ooh, I'm glad I don't have to give that $500 bill. Amen. Anybody need a handout? No? Okay. This is. You need a pen? You're like the cheese. Worst place to hit them is in the hands. Now, what do you need? All right. All right, we're going to have Brother Haley do a Sunday school, and I was going to preach for morning service, but we switched it around since he's not going to be here tonight, and so we're going to let his wife teach this morning. With a name like Modesty, she ought to wear white the whole time, right? That's a good name, praise the Lord. But so I'm going to do Sunday school and let him preach morning service. And then, because I haven't got to preach much this month, so I'm raring and ready to go. So I got both barrels this morning. So anyway, turn to the book of Jonah. What's that?
That way you can earn your money.
Yeah, I can earn my money. That's a trustee for you. All right, Jonah. Turn to the book of Jonah. It may take you a little while. It's after Obadiah, and it's after Genesis. Praise the Lord. All right. So, Jonah, and you don't have to look at this. This is just in case I got through what I want to say in Jonah. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and we'll get right in. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you this morning. Dear Father, we certainly love you. And God, I'm so thankful that you give us the Word of God to remind us and to encourage us and to explain to us who you are and what your mindset is, what your thinking is, God, your commands, what you want us to do. And God, help us to stay close to our Bible. God, help us not to get too far away from it. Help us not to leave it in between services on the shelf or on a table. God, help us to pick it up and read it and study it and memorize it, but most of all, obey it. So meet with us this morning. Thank you for the Haleys being with us this morning. I pray that you might bless them and their ministry and their kids, but bless our service this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jonah chapter number 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying," so God does speak to people, folks. And the way he speaks through people, we don't hear an audible voice. God speaks to us through his word. And if you have a King James Bible, this is very relevant to you. Amen. He speaks to you. And you say, "Well, that's Old Testament." Yes, you can. There's an interpretation of every scripture in the Word of God. There's also an application. And that application, many times, we can put ourselves in that situation or that principle and what God's trying to teach. And so God speaks to us. God still speaks, folks. And so God spoke to a prophet. And I was looking at my notes this morning in my Bible, and it said that Jonah may have been, let's see, where's it at? Okay. One Jewish tradition said that Jonah was the son of the widow of Zarephath, whom Elijah raised from the dead. That's something. But we know he was a prophet to the northern kingdom. And so, but we don't know if that's gospel or not. But we know that Jonah was a prophet and was sent by God, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And it says, verse 2, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." Now, why did God say cry against it? Because they were a different nationality, a different skin color. Speak to me this morning. Why did God say to go cry against it? The third word after that. What is it?
Wickedness.
"For their wickedness is come up before me." Do we live in a wicked world?
Yes.
We live in a wicked, wicked world. Sinful. Jeremiah 17, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." You say, "Oh yeah, the abortion crowd, the Hollywood crowd, I mean, they're wicked." No, in your own heart, folks. Your old heart is sinful. Your heart is wicked. And wickedness, God hates wickedness. In fact, look at Psalms 7:11 this morning. Talk about praise team, right? Right, Brother Trevor? 7:11. Proverbs 7:11. The Bible says, "God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." Now, God's God. He doesn't have a problem with loving the sinner completely, hating the sin completely. Now, you and me, we have a problem with that. We have a problem distinguishing between the person and the sin. But God doesn't. God loves the person supremely. He hates the sin supremely. He has no problem with that. And God's angry with the wicked every day. I looked up wickedness 344 times. I didn't look up each of those 344 times, or I wouldn't be here this morning. But anyway, but 344 times God mentions wickedness. And the wicked crowd, and we say, "Oh, you know, my little sin, God's not going to, God doesn't care about my little sin and my little wickedness and my stubbornness and my rebellion. It's not a big problem, preacher." It is. Wickedness. God said, "Hey, you need to go tell the people of Nineveh that their wickedness has come up before me. I notice their wickedness. I hate the sin." The sin is what put Jesus on the cross. Wasn't his sin, it was our sin. My sin and your sin. God is angry with the wicked every day. And he said, "Go cry against it." Verse 3. "But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Folks, aren't you glad you have a free will?
Amen.
That means we get to make our own decisions. "Oh, the devil made me do it." Wrong. Your old heart made you do it. You do what you want to do. I've learned that. I don't care. You can make all the excuses in the world. You can justify it. But if you want to do something, you're going to do it.
Right.
If you don't want to do something, where there's a, Brother Stowe used to say, "Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's not a will, there's an excuse."
Right.
"Well, Pastor, you know, I can't because of this, 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 and this." But if you want to do it, the excuses are still there. Mm-hmm. But man... "Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Preacher, you want me to come on a snowy day and drive my car and sit in a warm building? I can't do that. But if it's a Chiefs game, I remember that one Sunday, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, people were calling, are we going to have church today? And it was the same weather in Kansas City, snowing, icing. It's funny, they didn't cancel the game. And it was outdoors. They had to sit out in the elements. But, oh, preacher, I can't come to a heated building for an hour and a half, and hear the word of God. Are you going to cancel? No, we're not going to cancel church. Now, if I can be here, we won't cancel church. If I have to preach to me and Kevin needs it. No. We'll preach. But I've said this, if you don't think it's safe to come, you don't have to come. But the world, if they want to do something bad enough, they're going to do it. But it said Jonah made this decision. No, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going that way. And I'm glad we have a free will. I'm glad we have the choices are made by us. God doesn't make us do anything. I can't make anybody do anything. I can't make my children. I can't make my wife. I can't. The only person I have control of is me.
Right.
You make your own decisions. So don't blame everybody else. Well, the devil made me do it. Well, my parents, the world. You know, preacher. No. You make your own decisions.
Right.
Jonah decided, no, I'm not going to do that. So when you don't do what you're supposed to do, it says to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You leave God's will. You leave what you know you ought to do. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is an oops. No, it's sin. It's sin. But I love verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And he prepared a whale from the foundation of the world, put Jonah's name on his side. I believe that. I don't think God said, oh, all the whales, hey, I want you to go. No, I think he created that whale from the foundation of the world and said, you're going to get to swallow a Baptist preacher. He's going to give you indigestion. You're going to have him for 3 days. God does not create anything without a purpose.
Right.
That includes every single one of you. Mm-hmm. Well, God doesn't love me. Well, God doesn't care. God doesn't have anything for me to do. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And I don't care how many times you mess up, God still has something for you to do.
Right.
You're not a throwaway. You're not on the trash heap. No, if you get right with God, God's willing to use you. And you can see this in this verse. He went the other way, but God loved him enough to say, you know, I'm not going to let you go that way. I'm not going to let you do what I didn't create you to do. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to discipline you. And this world doesn't like to discipline. Just let your kids do whatever they want. No, you discipline them because you love them.
Right.
I tell my kids, I'm going to discipline you because I love you. And they said, well, if you love me, you wouldn't discipline you. Wrong. For God chasteneth. I don't know what that verse. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so God cared about Jonah. He prepared a whale for Jonah. But when you go the wrong way, the Bible says he went down to Joppa. Let's see, where's that? In verse number 3, he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to the Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof. Guess what? When you go against God, when you sin, you're going to pay the fare thereof. And we don't like that price tag. You've always heard it, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. You get involved in that which is against God, it's going to cost you. To I don't care, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to go my own way, it's going to cost you and you're not going to like it. He had to pay the fare thereof. He cared about Jonah. And God was serious. God was serious about what he asked him to do. So then, and look down in verse number 11. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. I think the most dangerous thing on earth is a backslidden Christian. Seriously. The lost, there's the lost. The fired up Christian, yes. But I think the most dangerous creature on earth is a lukewarm, calloused, cold Christian. Somebody is saved. Well, I'll go to church, but I'm not going to be all in. I mean, preacher, if it's convenient, if it fits in, if it's in my budget. No, God wants you all in. God wants you committed. No turning back. I love the Alamo. Drew a line in the sand. You cross this line, certain death. And they knew that. Those in the Alamo died. But help was on its way. But those in the Alamo had to give their life. Well, I'm going to step on the line if everything's going to be okay. If help's going to arrive, it may not be that way. And you're going to have to give your all. And when you're saved, and when you're a Christian, and when you do things that don't represent God, we become a bad testimony. Think about it. Here was God judging this prophet, and the mariners were saying, why is all this happening? They did all they could to bring the ship under control. But I like this in verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. You can't fight against God, folks. The world, I'll take reins. I can get this under control. No, you can't. You can't. And what a testimony. He said, I'm a Hebrew. I serve the living God. I fear God, but I'm backslidden. I'm not doing what God told me to do. Well, you're saved. Aren't you supposed to be in church? Aren't you supposed to have a good attitude? Aren't you supposed to pay your bills on time? Aren't you supposed to be a good worker? Where I went to college in BBC in Springfield, there are some places that would not hire BBC students. They said, if you're a student of Baptist Bible College, we won't even take your resume, your application. Why? Because there are some guys before us that had a bad testimony. Some of them, they wouldn't work. They wanted to witness on the job. And that's a good thing to witness, but not to steal time from your employer and not do your job. No, that's wrong. And so there was a bad testimony because others said, hey, we're saved, hey, we're on our way to heaven, but we're not going to be good workers, we're not going to be good examples. And so because of that, the world says, no, we don't want you. So we need to be careful about the testimony that we have. So then, of course, you know, they threw him overboard. But chapter number 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord and unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, thou heardest my voice. Aren't you glad God hears your prayers? Yes. Hey, when you pray, what? I don't know how to get right with God. Pray and ask God to forgive you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, that's our job. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How hard is it? I did wrong. I messed up. I forgot what preacher we've had here recently said, hey, keep a short account with God. Your sins don't go weeks and weeks and weeks. Man, get on your knees every night and say, God, forgive me of that attitude and that thought and that deed and that word. God, please keep a short account. You can be right with God. God heard Jonah's prayer. And of course, verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. I've heard a lot of commentaries like spitting, poof, landing on the beach, boom. So then chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Well, if I don't do it the first time, God will change his mind. Really? Folks, God's serious about his commands. God's serious about his callings. I love it when teenagers come forward and they surrender to the Lord. Then as they get older and their eyes get on money and things, mom and dad, that was just an emotional decision. You don't have to do that, Johnny. Well, Johnny went forward and committed to the Lord. Johnny said, this is what God wants me to do. God's serious, folks. If he wants you to do something, and he calls you to do something, and God wants us to do something, he's serious. He's not going to change his mind. God tells us to be holy. God tells us to witness. God tells us many commands in the Bible. Well, that's for those long past, not for now. No, it's for now. God's serious. And it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the bidding that I bid thee. Go tell them what I have said. And you know, God cares about people. God cared about Jonah enough to get him right with God and then say, hey, this is why I created you. I want you to go and preach unto Nineveh. And he cared about the people of Nineveh. Sometimes we think, well, God only, you know, he likes the good and upright and the honest. No, God cares about everybody. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The Bible says here, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All God's people said? He's not willing that any. Well, that guy's pretty bad. No, your heart's bad. If you weren't saved, you and I would be in the same hellhole. David said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet up. David didn't say, man, I arrive. Man, my personality, my teaching, my training, man, I arrive. He said, the Lord brought me up. And if you're saved today, and you're right with God, and God's blessed you, it's because of him and not because of you. Not because of your last names, not because, well, I'm good and I've had... No. It's only by the grace of God that we are what we are. Amen. Paul said, I am, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He was the chiefest of sinners, but God used him in a mighty way. So, God cares about the Ninevites. You say, well, the Ninevites, they were okay people, no? Said the Assyrian cruelty had become legendary. Graphic accounts of their cruel treatment of captives have been found in ancient Assyrian records, especially from the 9th and 7th century B.C., yeah, pretty wicked people. But God said, you go tell them what I told you to tell them. I want them to get right. And so Jonah did. You see in chapter 3, it says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went. Obedience. Praise the Lord. That's what ought to be evidence in our life. According to the word of the Lord, now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into a city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So his message was only in verse number 4. Not a long message. Repent. God's judgment. Folks, I think we get so bogged down with everything else. Look in Matthew. Go back to Matthew chapter 16, verse number 15. What should we be doing? The Great Commission, Matthew 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach Baptist doctrine. Is that what it says? Anybody there? It says to preach the what? Not the word. Preach the... Nobody's there? Matthew 16, 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What's the gospel? Good news. But what's the gospel? Tell me what the gospel is. Is that you should be baptized? You should read your Bible? You should get a decent haircut? What's the gospel? Exactly. That's the gospel. Well, I don't know what to tell them, preacher. Give them the gospel. Tell them Jesus died, Jesus Christ, Almighty God, the Son of God, the God-man, came to this earth through a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, shed his precious blood, was buried for our sins, and rose again. Amen. Alive. The third day. That's the gospel. Now, none of you have an excuse not to do the will of God. Well, I don't know. I don't know as many scriptures as you do, preacher. How am I supposed to argue with somebody? Don't argue with them. Right. Give them the truth. Yeah. Tell them the gospel. Well, you know, many people, they get hung up. Well, here's what I think. You know, the conspiracy theory and over here, and I just think, and you're doing wrong. Give them the gospel. If it's not in the Word of God, too many times we get hung up and we tell people our opinions and here's what I think. know, here's the, no. Doctrine should come after somebody's saved in the church house. Your study. That's what the church is for. Sunday school. Well, I have a test next week, amen? Well, all of you are excited, yeah. It could be an open book test. Bring your Bible. I'm just kidding. But it's teaching. How do I learn Baptist doctrine? Come to a Baptist church. How do I know Bible doctrine? Go to the right Baptist church, amen? You're going to hear Bible doctrine in a Baptist church if it's the right kind of church, because Baptists don't have any doctrine. It's not Bible doctrine, the right kind of church. And so people ought to come to church, ought to read, and you ought to read your Bible on your own where you can grow. But we are to go spread the gospel. Look at that. His message wasn't very long. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God's judgment is coming. That's what we ought to be telling the world. God's going to judge this whole world, folks. Well, I don't understand why wrong prevails, evil prevails, cheating people get ahead, ungodly people get ahead. They have all the money, and it seems like good is suppressed. Just wait. It's coming. Read the back of the book. God's judgment is... God's wheels of judgment grind slowly, but they grind surely. He doesn't miss anything. He's not out of touch. He's not losing his mind. Oh, God missed that. God doesn't miss anything. God knows. God doesn't have to write it down on a big chief hat tablet. God knows. He knows what's going on. He already knows what he's going to do. Read the Revelation. He's already telling us what he's going to do for all eternity. Do you think he's not knows what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day? Well, that person, you know, all the corruption in the world today, well, they're getting by with it. Only for a little bit. Be sure your sins will find you out. God knows. And God's and our message to the world, hey, Jesus is coming. And judgment is coming for the sinner, for the wicked. But if you'll get saved and accept God's salvation, God's deliverance, you can miss God's judgment. Are you sure, preacher? Let's read the rest of the account. It says, verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. They believed God. Well, preacher, the people at work, I argue with them, but they don't believe. What can you do? There's a certain amount that you can tell people, but when you start arguing with them, and you get face to face with them, and you get louder, and you say, this is the way it is, what are they going to do? They have a choice to believe or not to believe. And it's sad. But they have to believe God. Well, you know, they just don't believe that Jesus died and rose again. So how are you going to prove to them? Well, I mean, there's no way that we can show them. They have to believe the Bible, and that's their choice. Just like you. None of you, you saw a vision and you were there when Jesus Christ died. You had to believe by faith. The Bible says that we're saved by faith. Faith in something that we read about, that we understand. I believe God. I believe Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe he came to this earth. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he rose again. Amen? But you must believe in your heart. And so our job is to go tell people, but we can't make them. Just tell them, have a good attitude and say, hey, we want you. Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. Hey, we're interested in you. We care about you. We want to, that's why we knock on doors. We care about people. We want them to come to know Jesus as their Savior. Other religions do it to get to heaven. I do it because I am going to heaven. And so, but they must believe God. And if anybody's going to come and get God's forgiveness, I believe humility is in place. It says they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Humility. Here's what I did. God, I'm sorry. I know this sin, this thought, this action, this word, this attitude is against you, and I'm sorry, please forgive me. That's humility. Admit it, I've done wrong. But God blesses that. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So what did God do? The king proclaimed a fast, verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, and let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Turn. Repentance means a change of mind, which changes the direction. It's not just being sorry for our sins. Heard a message on that this week. It's not just saying, oh, I'm sorry I got caught. No. Hey, I understand that's wrong, and I don't want to do it anymore. Right. And I'm going to quit doing it. Mm-hmm. Instead of, I lied, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got caught, but I'm going to do it again and again and again. It doesn't mean you're not going to do that thing again, but you repent, you understand, and you want to turn from it. That's what they did. Well, you know, God is God. Look at verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil. He didn't say it was done bad. He changed his mind, that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not.
Amen.
Folks, we serve a wonderful, long-suffering God.
Amen.
Well, God can't forgive me. Yes, he can. Well, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what we've done. Well, my sin's in the top 10. Who cares? God forgives. The only sin that can take you to hell is unbelief in God. That's the only sin. Well, we have our categories of sins. Well, I'm not in the top 10, or I am in the top 10, and he's really bad. No. God can forgive you. And he said he turned, and he would not do, and he did it not. It was the greatest revival ever. It says down here, and there's different numbers that people think. But it said that some people believe there's over 120,000 people, and some people believe that was children. But God spared the city because of their repentance. But I want you to notice, and I'm not going to preach chapter 4, but verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. A prophet of God, doing what God told him to do, had the greatest revival ever. Yeah. Cared more about a gourd than he did the people, the lost people in sin. And I'm not going to preach that. I won't, because I said I wouldn't. I won't be a liar. But anyway, but you can read that. But where I wanted to get this, you can take it home and fill it out. But what did Jonah tell them? Well, let me tell you about the Christianity traditions that we have. And let me tell you, no. He said, chapter 3, verse number 4. Here's the message. Here's a message that you need to hear. He told them what God said. Folks, the Bible says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth.
Right.
We're not a cult. I've been accused of that. Oh, you go to that cult? No. And I just want to give you a few facts on this, and you can, all the answers are on, you can look them up. But people need to hear the truth. And God established the church. God founded the church. In fact, in Matthew 16, it says he was pointing to himself, upon this rock, I will build my church. This is not my church, it's not your church, it's God's church. I'm glad I get to be part of God's church. But he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's the institution that God works through and God blesses and wants us to meet together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You got to be in services every time the doors open. Why? Because the church family meets. God wants us to meet, encourage one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, band together and do what one person can't do. You can do more as a part of a church than you can do by yourself because you have people to help you. But a cult, really quick, number one, a cult never uses the Bible as their final authority. If you go to the right church, folks, this will be the final authority. We don't follow, well, we're going to follow our articles of faith and our statement of faith. And then this, no, this is it right here. If there's something in our articles of faith or covenant that disagrees with this, guess what? This trumps it all. We're not going to go after, well, this is tradition, this is what Baptists do, this is what the former preacher did. No, that doesn't matter. What does God want us to do? So you get in the right church, they say, this, we will follow this. There's some churches, well, let's decide what we want, which Bible we want to use this year, and if we want to have women deacons and a woman preacher, and you know, they decide that. That's already been laid down in the Word of God, folks.
Sure.
Well, that's archaic. No, it's the Word of God. So a cult will never use the Bible. Number two, a cult will lift up some leader over and above the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the under shepherd. There ought to be some respect of the office. But as far as a human being and a person, I'm no better than you. Preacher, you know, I'll have preacher pray because his prayers get there faster than mine. Wrong. If you're right with God, your prayers get to heaven just as fast as mine do. Well, he has a special access to God. No, no, no. The Bible says to you, the Christian, you can come boldly into the throne of grace. That's you. And call me because I will pray with you and for you. But you have just as much privilege as I do. And don't lift up a man higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, a cult will teach and believe in works salvation. Ephesians 2:8 name, for by grace are you saved through faith. I love that verse, Romans 6:23. If you don't know any other verse in the Bible, and you want to soul win, use Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. There are consequences for sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's it. Well, I don't know a whole lot of scriptures. That's all you need to know. Tell people, hey, are you a sinner? Have you ever done anything wrong? And if they say no, and just say, you just lied. No, all of us are sinning. So because of your sin, there's wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. It's not a gift of man. It's not a gift of a church. It's not a gift of works. A gift is a gift. What does a gift mean to you? If you come up and give me, if Connie would give me that $500 bill, been a gift. I don't deserve it. But if someone were to give you something, it's a gift of God, eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number four, a cult would typically take people away from their family. And some preachers are micromanagers. Had a guy get in my face. You better get to those people and you better get in their face. You better make them do. I'm not your husband. I'm not your daddy. I'm not the man of your house. I'll preach, I'll teach, I'll encourage you. But my authority stops here at the church. They're the local husband, wife, parents over children. The cult shouldn't make the family do anything. And number five, a cult's leader claims special revelation from God. Yeah, I got this, you know, it was handed down to me, not to anybody else. When somebody says that, you better go to somewhere else. Turn around and walk away. Because God didn't give anybody any special revelation. This is a revelation that God gives to all of us. Now, he may, in the will of God, but God speaks to me about the will of God for my life, I believe for my children, for the direction of the church. But as far as getting to heaven, oh, well, God gave me something else that's not in here. Wrong. Turn around and walk away. Number six, a cult will never teach the assurance of your salvation. Always dependent upon the cult. Hey, you got to do certain things. Hey, you got to stay right. I got to keep hanging on to God. No. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, never, never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. A cult will make its followers dependent upon the cult. I want you to be dependent upon God. God's the one that saves you. God's the one that can take care of your needs. God's the one that will forgive you. Oh, well, I got to turn. You know, I'm going to look to everybody, the government, to take care of me. No, 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 no. Turn to God. Turn to God. Read your Bible. Say, God, please speak to me through your word. But the cult wants you dependent upon it. Number eight, a cult's leader will make themselves out to be sinless and perfect. There's no man that's sinless and perfect but Almighty God. Number nine, a cult will deny the deity of the Lord of Jesus Christ. Some religions, Jesus Christ was a good man, good teacher, but not Almighty God. And that guy called me up, and I said, there's a Trinity. Jesus Christ is God just as much as God the Father. He said, oh, stop it. Stop it. I don't care what, I don't know what party you are, but I'm a pastor of a church, and I believe the Bible. So deny the deity. Number 10, a cult will not teach or preach the whole counsel of God. There's a lot in here. After salvation, there's a lot of teaching, a lot of your walk with God is following the Lord. It's found in the Word of God. Number 11, a cult will teach that by a gift to God above your tithes, you can purchase heaven or gain special favor from God. Is that true? Absolutely not. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what you can do. You don't earn or get God's favor by giving money. Number 12, a cult may have weird beliefs. Number 13, a cult will add doctrines of their own to the Bible. And I hope you'll just fill out the back. But follow the truth, folks. Our job is to take the gospel to the world. Jonah's message wasn't very long. Hey, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Yet 40 days, Nineveh's going to be overthrown. But there is a loving God. There is salvation by grace through faith. And let's take the gospel to the world. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you. Thank you for this morning. God, we sure love you. Thank you for the Bible that you've given us. And God, I pray that you might help our dear people, God, that we might have a heart, not just a mind, a concern. God, help us to have a heart for the lost. We walk by them every day. We see them every day walking the streets, carrying out the business where we shop and do our business. And God, I pray that we might be an example and a testimony and a witness for you. Bless our service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen.